Now grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're looking at verse 11 this morning, but I've been trying to read the whole part, that whole section of Scripture, to give us the context. So we're going to be reading from verse 9 all the way to verse 14. And as we do so, remember this, that we are not just reading any ordinary book here, but we are reading the Word of the Lord. And as we read the Word of the Lord, it deserves our respect. It deserves us going, yes, Lord, this is profitable for preaching and teaching, for exhortation. It is proper for us to be fed by. Some of us need the spiritual milk. Some of us are like, give me that meat. And we are ready to receive it from the Word of the Lord. So hear now the Word of the Lord. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. And now here's the section for us this morning. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is by your will and by your wisdom that in the midst of difficulty in many of our lives, both that has been open and public and those private, that we come to a text about you strengthening us, so that we can endure and practice patience. So Lord, be with us as we study this passage, we study this section of word. May we grow in our knowledge of your word, and may we at the end of it say loudly and boldly, amen. And in Christ's name we say, amen. All right, so we come to the next point of the text Paul is trying to make. He has explained to the Colossians that he has not ceased to pray for that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays for such so that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And last week we considered that a characteristic of such a Lord-pleasing walk, spurred on by spiritual wisdom and spurred on by understanding, is that there is fruit-bearing and increasing in the knowledge of God's will. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord is one that pursues the cultivation of fruit that is pleasing to God. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord is one where the believer increases in their knowledge of God. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord involves your faith and your practice conforming to God's word and being molded into Christ's likeness. The text then has a semicolon, and someone brought up last week that I made a whole deal about semicolons, and then there was no semicolons on the screen, okay? So let me just dive down that rabbit trail real quick. So the ESV, there is a Bible translation that I use, and the most recent edition of it has semicolons. And the ESV has now several editions that are out there in the short time that they've been there. So I believe we have maybe an older version. That's going to be my suggestion. We might have that. Maybe there's like a Windows update for the English Standard Version on the, I don't know. But that's the thing that's happening. But if you have other Bible translations, you'll see semicolons there. So I'm not all the way off of left field. I'm not speaking a different language here. What I'm saying, I think, is correct. All right? I wasn't having an episode in front of everyone, okay? I know what I see. Okay. So the text that has a semicolon identifying to us the first item, independent clause, has ended, and now the second clause has begun. These two being related, connected, in that they are in the characteristics that Paul is listing. So last week, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And now today, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And I'll let you guess where you think we go from there in the upcoming sermons. But this sermon has three parts that fit the flow of the verse, which I hope makes sense as we continue. You know, it is only right that we talk about, when we're talking about fruit, we use the illustration of fruit trees, right? I talked about fruit trees and stuff like that last week. I now want to expand to gardens in general. How many of us living in Don Pedro have, I'll expand it to, attempted to garden, all right? All right. How many of us are currently gardening? Okay. I know there's a garden outside my house. I'm just not the one guarding it. I'm looking at Elliot, okay? So, we are tremendously blessed to be living in such an area as California in regards to us being able to plant and grow so many things. However, Don Pedro's soil can often be unforgiving. It can be hard ground to try to break up. And when I was a teenager, my grandpa, my dad, and I would plant these multiple rows of tomatoes in our garden. And I remember us not wanting to start in that soil just yet. We want to start them in these little cups that we make and have that be this like nice nourishing area that they can become starter plant size, and then they'll be able to survive the soil. But you can't just plant them willy-nilly. You have to then dig a sort of moat around the tomato plant to make them survive, sort of thing. And what helps with digging up the soil is having a tractor and then having a disker on the tractor to then make circles around this. And then when you do that, there's dust in the air, and I was prone to bloody noses, so I have blood coming down my face. And like, keep working. And snakes come out, and sometimes the heat, you are just being baked like you're in a little convection oven, all so that we can have these little things grow and put them with some mozzarella and eat them and do the whole thing again next year. I say all this to say, not only that we should be praying and giving the Lord thanks for farmers and gardeners, but to also say that the reason why we should be giving thanks is because gardening and farming is not for the faint-hearted. There is strength that is needed to grow crops, and the bigger the garden, more fruit-producing trees you plant, the more strength which is needed. If you've ever driven past a certain ranch, you'll see that there's all these olive trees, and everyone always asks, what are you doing with them? Not a thing. We want, I think one of us, a couple of us want to do something, but it is so vast and so hard of a labor to get this done. There's so much maintenance, and each one requires time and effort to properly produce and thrive. There is strength needed throughout. Likewise, living a life worthy of the Lord involves us needing strength. Living a life worthy of the Lord is a high and difficult calling. It is high and it is difficult in that we see what the duties are of the Christian, what it is called that we are to do on the Christian walk. And we see that some come easy for us, but others we have room to improve, and then others we are terrible at. The areas where we just whiff on every single day. So you're good on reading God's word daily. Check. You can improve on your participation in the church body, and then you're just whiffing it on prayer. It's like an afterthought. How about this? You're good at knowing some things about God's word. You can improve on knowing things about God's word. And then you're just whiffing it as you chase every single theological rabbit trail that comes across your path online, every theological error, every fad that distracts you from the true increasing in the knowledge of God. Then comes those where you are, quote, taking nothing but L's, as the generation after me says. If they're there. If I see some, I think people say that. If not, I sound like an older man than I am. But taking nothing but L's, as the generation after me says, whiff on your personal relationship with God. Whiff on the relationships with your wife, children, and family. And then if you're in ministry, whiffing on that as well. Taking L's. This is all part of the high and difficult calling that we are called to do. And this is why if we pursue to live a life fully pleasing to God, we must be strengthened with all power. We need strength to put what we know into practice. My family had knowledge on how to garden. We needed strength to put that knowledge into the ground, to practice it. We increase in our knowledge of God's will, knowledge on how he wants his people to live, how he wants to be worshipped. We go to the Bible and go, wait, this says a lot about how God wants to be worshipped, and it shows us some of the consequences if we don't worship him the way he wants us to worship him. A couple people died. How we are to resolve conflicts. And one of the things that puts feet on our pursuit of putting all this knowledge that we've increased in into practice, is being strengthened to do it. And notice I say pursue, and I'm going to say that quite a few times, because the reality is, on the final analysis, we are not able to perfectly and completely fulfill every duty given to the Christian. They are that high and they are that difficult that each and every one of us have areas that we need to work on at this very moment. And then when we close our eyes here for the last time and die, we will still have areas we need to grow in. It doesn't stop until Christ comes. This is one of the reasons why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news for us. Yet in our walk, which the Lord has laid out for us, pursuing to honor and glorify him, we are to be strengthened for the endeavor. To live a life fully pleasing to God requires a Christian to be strengthened with all power. The next question is, who is the one doing the strengthening? And the answer is that we are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That his is God. In our walk of bearing fruit and increased knowledge of God, we are strengthened for such endeavors by God. And Ephesians 3 helps us here, where when Paul records his prayer, when he is bows his knee before the Father, that according to the riches of his glory, that's the Father's glory, he may grant you, that's the Ephesians, and that's us, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, which precedes from the Father. And as a side note, the Son as well. But we don't need to get into church history and between Eastern and Western Christianity there. But to be strengthened was the power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then the text goes on from there. However, from that text, we can see that it is the Father being prayed to, Father doing the granting, and they are granted to be strengthened with power from the Holy Spirit. So as we consider the text in Colossians, recognize that it is God who strengthens, and how he does it is through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, indwelling inside of the believer. We need the Spirit's help in walking the Christian walk. We need Him to give us strength. We need Him so much that without it, we would be hopeless. Sure, you might keep up appearances for some time, but eventually, it catches up to you. Reality kicks in. And then the fruit that looked pristine on the outside, you put your thumb through it and you see how it's rotten to the core. The tomatoes are all moldy. The leaves are wilted and brown. If God left us to our own devices, then we would find ourselves drowning by them. Thank God that He does not do that. And He shows us so much mercy and grace. On our Christian walk, we're not left alone, for we have the help amid the flood. Once we are justified, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer and begins the work of chipping away the remnants of the old Adam and begins to mold us into Christ's likeness. And we say this, and I say it often, that chipping away does hurt sometimes because we love it so much. Sometimes we have such a love affair with our sin that when the Holy Spirit starts chipping away, we go, no, you're chipping away my identity. Like, no, I identify with Christ now. And we have to remember that. It could hurt as we're being molded into Christ's likeness, but we must remember that the old Adam is to be done away with, and it is done away with, thanks be to Christ. I want you to take the time and examine your life, Christian, from a babe in Christ to where you are now. From the day that you profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior till now, and just see the growth that has happened over the years. And that ought to be a practice that at the end of it, you're saying, praise the Lord. You're counting every blessing that He's given you. That you've grown in your faith. Grown in your knowledge of who He is. Think about those things that you needed to grow in and how the Lord made it so you did grow and mature in the faith through means He appointed for you to grow through. That He gave you preachers, pastors, older brothers and sisters in the church. That you've prayed about it. You know how hard it is for some of us to pray about something? And then immediately as you start praying about it, the weight starts to disappear? The appointed means that the Lord has given us that we may mature in the faith. How many of us were once scared to death to share the faith but have started to grow in their confidence to do so and have perhaps actually done it? How we were once scared to even broach the subject to anybody in our path, but then the Lord, over time, has made it to where you can't stop talking about it. See how you have been strengthened, Christian. You yourself have not strengthened yourself. It is from God. We get into trouble forgetting that important thing. That it is not yourself that strengthens yourself, but it is God who strengthens you. We forget and start to look to other things and think that their supposed might is what strengthens us. It is all over the place. People living as though their might alone is what matters. That's the fruit of pride and arrogance growing on their branches. And how does this look? Well, how many people read God's word, but they confide in their own strength? They might have a knowledge of the word of God, but they confide like, but my own might will just do what the Lord desires. instead of resting in the strength of He who parted the Red Seas, He who rose from the dead. If we find ourselves there, follow Paul's model here and go to the Lord in prayer. Pray to God that we would be saved from being foolish with what He has given us. Pray that He may continue to grow us in the knowledge of Him. And let me tell you, our God wants to hear our prayers. And it is good for us to do so. Our walks with the Lord must include our prayers to Him. They cannot be divorced and survive. It would be planting a garden, but never watering it. So may we humbly come before the Lord and praise His name that the Almighty God has seen it fit to give His children strength. So we talked about who is strengthening us. The final question is, what are we being strengthened for? And it is the ending of the verse that sheds light on the answer, for all endurance and patience. Now, I know I started off with a little commentary on the ESV. Now, I'm going to do it again for this. Because I know that the ESV renders it on the screen, endurance and patience with joy, comma. And I want to bring to your attention that your Bible has footnotes. And there's an interesting translation note. It could just be interesting to me, and you're like, I don't care about this. But let me just tell you, the ESV has a footnote of a different rendering for the next verse that reads patience. So it goes, all endurance and patience, comma, with joy giving thanks. So it takes the joy part and puts into the next clause regarding joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Other translations follow what is in the footnotes of the ESV. Take, for example, a similar word-for-word translation. The NASB, strengthened with all power, comma, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfast and patience, semicolon, joyously, and then verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Then there is the CSB, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, comma, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So I say this so that we are all aware that there's some discussion to be had between Bible translators, and they love to have discussions. They love to have discussions about particular manuscripts and things like that, on what is the proper sparsing of the words. So we shouldn't be ignorant that that happens. But you see evidence in your own preferred translation of this happening. You should know why it's happening. However, the point still stands for us today that God gives us the strength according to His might to endure and to have patience. And it's next week that we will see that we are to be joyful and give thanks to the Father for such things and so much more. And it's not wrong to say patience with joy, as we see in other parts of Scripture. But I just say that so that we're all transparent and we know what's happening here. But bearing fruit can be a gut-wrenching experience that requires endurance to withstand. And all Christians need the strength of God to endure. And we all are probably thinking about particular things when I say we need endurance to withstand. And you're all thinking about that one thing, or maybe it's a couple of things, going, yeah, that's what I need the strength of the Lord for right now. And I'm kind of floundering on that. And I need to pray for the Lord to give me strength. We all come from different walks, and we have different circumstances which we must walk through. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, we've had a string of brothers and sisters in Christ pass away in our church in the short time that I've been pastor. The church endures. We have people in our church that are having medical ailments, being witnesses to how Christians endure through such trials. We had a sister share in this very service about in her brother enduring suffering. And she's showing the example of Christians enduring such trials. Loss of a loved one, loss of employment, or let me explain that to loss of financial stability. You know, because we live in a certain time where things that we've taken for granted aren't there or aren't as comfortable as things are. We're all aware that people are leaving Don Pedro for different financial reasons, or they just want to have peace of mind that they're out of California. I think a lot of us can understand that at times. But enduring. Or how about this? A difficult circumstance like this, a loss for a zeal for the Lord that you once had when you were younger. Have we ever come across that where, like, you were a young believer and you were going all over the place telling people about Jesus this, Jesus that, praise Jesus, proclaiming the gospel? And then as you get older, that zeal for the Lord disappears and it starts to get hardened a little bit. And then the bearing of fruit, not only is it difficult already, but now it needs to break through that hardness. That's why it can be difficult. We are to seek after the Lord to give us the strength to walk through such swamps of despair. And all of these events in our walk and so much more can be used by God to remind you that it is not by your power that you will endure, but by His. Because we need reminders. Part of the weekly service is reminding you of the gospel, because the Lord knows we need reminders that Christ is Lord and our Savior. We need reminders that He is in control. And it's very often that when we butt up against that, that there's a reminder once again that Christ is Lord and His strength will endure, yours will not. That it's not by your power that you will endure, but by His. That we are to lean on His everlasting arms of the Almighty God. We are to read His word, which records what the Almighty can do, has done, and what He promises to do. So in the midst of enduring and shoring up and being strengthened for the walk through the swamp of despair, we're also called to be patient. And there's a call for all of us to be patient. There's a call for us, all of us, to pray for and seek to practice patience. May we strive to hone our ability of showing patience. You see, we live in a time that now more than ever, patience is limited. We struggle with practicing patience. We have gotten spoiled with the immediacy of everything around us. And I'm going to sound like I'm from a different, like I'm going to sound like I'm 60 here for a moment, so bear with me. I remember you had to wait till a movie came out, right? Like you saw the trailers, and then you had to wait for it to be in the movie theater. And then you had to wait till your friends or your family can take you to the movie theater, or you went by yourself. That's sad. If you went with people, right, to the movie theater. Now, movie's out, it's on Netflix, boom, watch it, you're done. No traveling, you just sit there and watch. You have questions regarding something. You don't need to wait to ask someone. You just go, let me Google it. And there you go. And we've already bought into the first thing we see must be the actual answer, right? Even better or worse, you ask AI, and it will give you what it believes is the correct answer. And the correct answer is whatever you want it to be. You want an answer to a Bible question? You no longer need to ask your pastor. That's old-fashioned. That's sarcasm. Instead, you have a wide world of virtual strangers who don't understand the context of why you're asking that question. They don't have maybe the background to even answer it. And they just go, here you go. That's the answer. And we go, well, that must be the answer. And this can go on and on and on. Say that there's a disagreement in the church. And we want to be so quick to remedy the disagreement that we'll go to any lengths to finish it. But yet, we need to be careful because there is a heart that's a good thing that we want to do. But there's also patience. And Lord, let us give us so much patience for such things. While we have God's word that speaks much about patience, we seem to have so much pushing for the opposite direction in our lives. Immediate gratification. Press the button. Give me what I'm looking for. Immediate gratification that then we lose the ability to practice patience. And we start to see a decline in being patient in our lives. We see a decline going, I want it now. And then I wanted it yesterday. And like, why don't you know that I needed this thing? It just keeps going and going. This pours into fellowship with Christians too. It pours into our relationships with the lost and with our relationship with God. Instead of spending time developing a relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, there is a want for immediate relationship made. Have them pre-developed, already shrink-wrapped, ready to go. Which is, to an extent, there's an expectation that we should have that because we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is not the same as the deep relationship made between believers who have spent years in the same church together, decades hearing the preached word together, lifetimes in the same four walls of this building. It's deeper, more meaningful, and it is a blessing. And instead of showing patience to unbelievers, there's a temptation to face their provoking, the provocation, with our own provocation. Going, oh, you're going to talk this way to me? Right back at you, right? Instead of remaining calm, instead of hearing the text about gentleness, and this is a big one, not complaining about it. We love to complain. There is a lot of patience needed to evangelize because you are going to hear a lot of different things. And one of them that's going to be you, that you're going to hear when you're sharing the gospel, it is just a matter of time that one of the things that are said is going to be that dog whistle thing that, like, that hits me. That's the dagger that went through the armor right at the heart. And now I'm struggling to show any. I want this conversation to be done. And I can't wait to get and talk to whoever about this. Your patience is going to be tested. Our patience in the Christian life is going to be tested. Not just in evangelism, just Christian walk as well. And by the power of God, resting on the power of God, we are to stay calm and stand firm. Then last but not least, we dare to grow impatient with the Lord. We all can fall into this trap of being impatient with the Lord. Such impatience can take the form of us thinking God ought to do something, and because he doesn't do it the way we think he should do it, we grow impatient. Going, God, I know better than you on how to do this. And because you're not doing it the way I think it should be done, well, you're not doing it fast enough. I'm frustrated. Lord, why haven't you done anything about that neighbor whose dog keeps getting onto my property? Take care of it, God. It's like when I would get impatient regarding the garden and the fruit trees, and I want that fruit to be ready quick. I would want it so bad. We used to have an apricot tree before the drought killed it. It was that I would fool myself thinking that it was ready. Like, it looks good. I mean, sure, it's a light yellow. There's still green on it. But let me still try it. And every time, it would be gross, spit it out. Some of this fruit, like your mouth would be numb after eating it. It's like, okay, I'll try again tomorrow. Fruit needs time to grow. And we need to be patient to let it grow. Some fruit grows quicker. Others take much more time. You might have the gentleness fruit weighing heavy on your trees for the Lord's purposes. But you must be patient and endure the struggles in growing fruit of discernment. Or you have control over your tongue, but now you need to grow in knowing what to say. And how do we grow? By increasing in the knowledge of God's word. And we need to grow in how to communicate the way God wants us to communicate it. Such endeavors take time. And it takes a Christian to patiently study the word of God and endure the onslaught of distractions that always seem to be at the height in our lives when we are prepared to study. Like, okay, I have my Bible open. I'm ready to study the word. Oh, I get a phone call. Or I'm ready to study, but now there's this chaos around me that is going to draw my attention away from the word. When the reality is, we need to be in the word while there's chaos going around. We fall into that trap that it's either or. But God's word takes priority. So I want to encourage you, Christian, that in your Christian walk, you're not left alone. To tend to your vines so that you may bear fruit, and you're not left alone to increase in your knowledge of God's will alone either. The Lord strengthens you so that you may endure and patiently walk the Christian walk. The Lord has given you much to aid you in your pursuit. He's given you this church body to be a part of. He's given you his word, fellow believers around you, a pastor, Lord willing, in the future, a couple more pastors. And more he has given you. Let us continue to pray for endurance and practice patience in such a way that it glorifies the Lord. And in closing, I want to end just on this note, that it is according to the might of the Lord that we are strengthened to endure and practice patience, Also, it is according to the might of the Lord that by his power he redeems his people. It is according to God's will that the Son would come down and die on the cross for our sins, and he did just that. The might of the Lord versus the serpent, and the serpent head was crushed by the Lord. The might of the Lord versus death, and the Lord removed the sting of death and conquered the grave. He is mighty to save, and we need to boldly proclaim that as a church. You and I, as disciples of Christ, as we endure and practice patience, need to tell people about Christ. Yes, the world is going to be hostile to such endeavors. Christ tells us as such. That shouldn't surprise us. And if left to our own might or our own strength to overcome such hostility, the church would have gone into the dustbin of history a long time ago. But it is not our might, but the Lord's upon which we stand. And with that glorious truth, may we be so bold as all of us say, let's all say the comforting words, amen. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are so blessed that we can count our blessings every day of our life and see how our cup runs over. Lord, may we be resolved that as we walk the Christian walk, as we run the race, that we lean wholly on you, that you give us the strength to persevere. You give us the strength to be patient when the flesh wants us to act so immediate. Lord, may we practice patience as we see that you have practiced patience with us. We are habitual covenant breakers, but yet Christ died for us. Your Son died for us. Great is your faithfulness, O God. And from acknowledging that and increasing in what we know about your faithfulness, may you give us endurance and give us patience. And in Christ's name we say, amen.